What do Americans think about all of that? For that, we are joined by Tom Jensen, the director of public policy polling based out of Raleigh. Publicpolicypolling.com is the website, and you can find him on Twitter at PPPpolls. Tom, thanks for being with us today, and Happy New Year.
Hey, Aaron. Good to be with you.
So let's start by talking about the shutdown. Every time a government shutdown happens or a government shutdown is threatened, obviously there are principles and policies around it, but politics as well, as each side is trying to blame the other and trying to convince Americans that the other side is to blame. What do Americans think about the shutdown, and who are they crediting it to, as it were?
Yeah, it's definitely Donald Trump's shutdown. 47% of voters say they hold him responsible for it. Only 33% say they hold congressional Democrats responsible for it. And that's really sort of in line with Trump's approval rating. If you approve of Trump, you blame the Democrats. If you disapprove of Trump, you blame Trump. So that's really not terribly surprising.
So does that mean that the shutdown isn't really swaying public opinion one way or the other? That we've talked before about just sort of how locked into our opinions we all are. Is this just another example of that?
It is, and also the first couple weeks of the shutdown were sort of during a period that for a lot of Americans was sort of a news diet time. We were busy eating lots of food and not consuming lots of news at the time when the shutdown really hit. So it'll be interesting to see what happens over the next week or two. If it persists, I could see voters getting a little more agitated about it than they have been so far. But certainly the level of attention to this shutdown doesn't come anywhere close to matching, for instance, the one in October of 2013, which happened at a time when wasn't the middle of the holidays and thus got a lot more attention and was more on people's minds.
Is there anything that would have to happen in order for people to start paying more attention to the shutdown? I know just personally, I go about my life from day to day, and I'm not really immediately impacted right now by the fact that the federal government is shut down, but that's going to change over the course of time as we start getting further and further into this. Is that the sort of thing that has to happen? People have to start getting directly affected by it?
Yeah, I definitely think that people don't tend to care about things unless they are facing some sort of personal adverse effect, or at least if they're aware of other people facing adverse effects. And as you sort of allude to, I think those are going to be increasing as this shutdown drags on. I'd say the first week or two, there was almost no press coverage of negative implications of the shutdown. This week, you've seen a lot of coverage about how national parks are getting trashed, mm-hmm. how people are getting into dangerous situations because there's nobody monitoring to the parks, things like those. So I think that those sorts of stories have the potential to sort of get voters more concerned about the shutdown than they have been so far.
I'll keep following that. Speaking with Tom Jensen, public policy polling. Of course, the other thing that people are talking about on the national level is the beginning of candidate announcements for the 2020 election cycle, even though we're still close to 2 years away from it. We're into that point. And the first kind of unsurprising announcement is Elizabeth Warren announcing that she's starting to begin the process of forming the exploratory committee and getting her campaign ramped up. I know we've talked a little bit about this in the past, but where do Americans stand when it comes to Elizabeth Warren in particular, but just sort of 2020 candidates in general?
Well, her poll numbers sort of went on a bad trajectory over the course of 2017 or 2018 when it comes to the presidential race. Democratic primary polling that was done in early 2018, she was always sort of in the top tier of candidates along with Joe Biden and Bernie Sanders. She'd always be in double digits. And then there was sort of a number of polls that were done in December on the primary where she wasn't in that first tier of candidates anymore. There was not any poll in December where she had double-digit support for the Democratic nomination. So she's sort of been on a bad trajectory. I think the press coverage of her DNA test probably didn't help her. But I sense, and we'll get a better sense in the coming weeks of how this is actually playing out with the population at large, but I sense that her launch has been pretty successful. I think it was smart of her to get out of the gate first and sort of get a level of attention for her announcement that maybe other people aren't going to get once the announcements start coming fast and furious. And I think that the amount of press coverage that sort of based on nothing but gender, compared her to Hillary Clinton and says she was unlikable and stuff like that, I think led among certainly Democratic leaders anyway, sort of a backlash against people being nasty to Elizabeth Warren that she may benefit from. So I wouldn't be surprised if once Democratic primary polls start coming out in January, she's back up into double digits. I think that she's had a pretty smooth launch here over the course of this week.
In terms of who ends up getting the nomination ultimately, how important is it to be a front runner now? Is it, does that give you a huge advantage, or do you still have time to make your case to voters?
I think that this is certainly an election where being an early front runner doesn't matter that much. Even when we talk about Joe Biden or Bernie Sanders being the front runner, we're still only talking about 20 to 25% of Democratic voters saying that they support them. With so many people looking at running, support is very well distributed across a number of candidates. And I think a lot of Democrats are just sort of taking a wait and see approach to see who runs and see who they end up liking and that sort of thing. So I think it is very plausible that somebody who right now is at 3 or 4% in the polls could end up winning the nomination. This is not at all comparable, for instance, to 4 years ago when Hillary Clinton was at 60, 65%, and it was really an uphill battle for anyone to take her out. Bernie Sanders obviously ended up running her pretty close to even with her, even after starting out behind by 50 or 60 points. And this year, no one's starting out more than about 20 points behind.
Speaking again with Tom Jensen, Public Policy Polling. So let's bring it down to the state level now. First of all, the thing that everyone's talking about on the state level is this ongoing investigation of alleged absentee ballot fraud in the 9th District, and Mark Harris in particular, the Republican candidate, very much at the center of this. Do we have a sense of what North Carolinians think about all of this? I know there's that issue, and then there's this sort of the larger issue of the fact that that's going on while the General Assembly is debating legislation on voter ID to address an entirely unrelated alleged kind of fraud that's going on, and there's that kind of irony happening at the same time. But is there a sense of where North Carolina voters stand when it comes to all of this news?
We'll have some data next week on specifically what North Carolinians think should be done about the North Carolina 9 situation. But I'm relatively confident, even before doing the poll, that people are going to think that there should be a redo on the election. Mm-hmm. And I think what's interesting is that Republicans still seem to be rallying around Mark Harris. It seemed to me, certainly like a few weeks ago, that Republicans would have been best served by trying to dump Mark Harris. And I think that was why there was so much of a push to get a new primary if there was going to be a reelection. But I think certainly Republicans had some interest in trying to get Pat McCrory into the race, and he has declined to do that as of yesterday, and said that he thinks Harris should be in there. And we've also seen Republican Party leaders state that Harris should be certified as the winner of the election. I have to think, given how tainted Harris is by these allegations, that if the rerun ends up being McCready versus Harris again, a race that went 50-50 the first time around, even if just a fractional share of Harris's supporters are turned off from him because of all these allegations, you would think that McCready would end up being the favorite. So I'm a little bit surprised that Republicans aren't pushing more to have a new candidate and a possible reelection, but right now it seems like they're sort of rallying behind Harris.
And then you mentioned Pat McCrory. He said earlier this week he's not planning on running in that 9th district, but he also said in the same sentence, well, I might run again for governor in 2020. I might think about running for Senate in 2022. Your opinion, does he have a chance if he decides to run for governor in 2020 or Senate in 2022?
Well, the thing with our governor's races is that nobody's ever going to win by more than 5 or 6 points, probably, because we're such a closely divided state. So would McCrory have a chance? Sure. But 2020 is likely to be a more Democratic political climate than 2016 was if Trump stays on this current trajectory. And beyond that, Roy Cooper's proven to be a very popular governor. I think he got elected in 2016. People didn't necessarily know him that well. But he's turned out to be popular. People like the way he's handled the big things that have come up since he's been in office. So it's hard to imagine, at least from the January 3rd, 2019 outlook of things, that Cooper would do any worse than he did last time around. You would think better political climate, plus Cooper's become more personally popular, that he would beat McCrory by 5 or 6 points or something like that. And everything in politics is so much about timing. If Democrats elect a president in 2020, then most likely Republicans are going to win the Senate race in North Carolina in 2022. So sure, if McCrory got the nomination, I think he'd probably be the favorite, given what we know about what happens in the first midterms after a new president's elected. Of course, if Trump's somehow reelected and we're on year six of Trump, then Democrats are going to have a really good chance in that Senate race. So right now, the sort of Republican clear front runner to be governor is Lieutenant Governor Dan Forrest, and he's giving no sign that he would back down from McCrory. But one other interesting thing I heard this week, and it'll be interesting to see if there's any legs to this, is that Tom Tillis hates being in the Senate, and he might be interested in coming back and running for governor next year, and that possibly Dan Forrest would then be open to running for his Senate seat instead of running for governor. So that's very much just passing on gossip kind of thing, but sometimes that ends up being right. So that's a sort of another interesting wrench in the situation.
I can't imagine why anyone would hate being in the Senate right now. Well, again, Tom Jensen, Public Policy Polling. PublicPolicyPolling.com is the website. Find them on social media at PPP Polls on Twitter and get more numbers that way. Tom, thank you so much for being with us and Happy New Year.
Thanks, Aaron. Take care.